Well, guys, we are glad you're here, and I know not everybody's able to be here last week, so I want to start by reviewing briefly. Who can tell me one point, just one point of what I talked about last week? I'm going to give you about 15 seconds, that's it. One point. Karen?
Obedience is proof of our salvation.
Obedience is proof of our salvation. You wrecked my illustration, but thanks for giving me one of the truths. That's one of the, I didn't think anybody come up with any, so that is great. And what I'm going to do is just, and the reason I didn't think any I'm going to say is either that I made no points, or it's that we take in so much information every week that we forget what we heard a week later. And that's going to be part of what I'm going to talk about here. They say, whoever the experts are, that the average adult in America makes 35,000 decisions a day. Then you're saying, I don't. Well, you do. You made a decision whether you're going to sit there or there. That's one decision. You made a decision you have cereal or not. I mean, but just think of that. So 35,000 a day, 7 days a week, it's hard to keep in mind what you remembered. So I'm going to give a two-minute review of a 39-minute message. I was supposed to be at 20. How I got to 39, I think somebody's moving the clock up on me. I'm not sure. But here's a two-minute review of what we did cover last week. Number one, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Point number one. Point number two, each and every person who has responded to that invitation to believe in Jesus is given eternal life, and nothing they do or say can change that. Now, my guess is if you weren't here last week, you might say, I'll challenge that statement. All I ask you to do, I would love for you to challenge it, and I'd love to take you to lunch to talk about it if you listen to the message from last week first, because there's a lot of information that backs up that statement. It's a strong statement. But I think if you listen to the whole message, you'll understand that. But I did say that. Number three, God does the extraordinary work of keeping us to the end. We talked about perseverance of the saints. In other words, from the beginning you become a believer, you're guaranteed you're going to make it to the end. And he does the extraordinary work of making that happen, but he uses the ordinary means of grace that he's given to us, of which we're going to talk about two of them today. And then we answer these three questions. Okay, if my salvation is eternally secure, can I then live however I want and do whatever I want? What can be said of those who once claimed to be followers of Jesus but have walked away from their faith and want nothing to do with it anymore? And three, how can I know that I have eternal life? That's where we were last week. So again, if the message online, firmfamilychurch.org, but if you listen to it and you have questions, please, I really would love to treat you to lunch. It won't be the habit because we're pretty excited. The habit's opening up right over here. But is Ryan here, Betcher? What did he tell us? Is it April? Something like, it looks like it's ready to go, but they can't get the air conditioning units until April. So it's going to sit there looking pretty until April. But I'll take you then to Spiteri's. It's right around the corner too. So I'd love to treat you. All right, let me pray, and then we'll go where we're going to go today. Father, I do thank you so much for your word that assures us of what you have promised, what you have warned, what you've done. And Father, it also gives us great hope for what you will do for us in the future. And I pray today we'll leave here, Father, more convinced than ever that you are good, you are faithful, and you do keep your promises. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so my goal today is to do two things. One is just to look very briefly at two of those means of grace. So there's this extraordinary part that God does that we can't do, and that's getting ourselves to heaven. There's this ordinary part that we can do, and he's given us these means to do it. He's given these tools, these help. And we're just going to look at two of them today very briefly because I think they'll resonate with you, but hopefully remind you that we need to be doing them. And then going to look at briefly at what are three advantages of knowing that if I'm a believer, if I'm a follower of Jesus, if I put my faith in him, what are three advantages of that between now and when I get to heaven? I know the advantage when I get to heaven is going to be great. I won't be judged. I'll have eternal life. I will have no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more tears. I know the end, but what's the benefit from now until the end? We'll look at three benefits of that, and then I'll close with two or three applications to our life of what we can do. First quote I have up here says, "The doctrines of perseverance and glorifications are not just important theological insights." They are important theological insights, but you've heard me say, that does not excite me just as far as theology or doctrine. What excites me is how does it affect how I live and how I think and what I do. So he goes on to say, they have been revealed to us so that between the already of place of my faith in Jesus and the not yet of getting to be with him forever, in heaven forever, they would form for us a way of living. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. Okay, so two means of grace. There's many of them. There's probably, I don't know, 10 or 12. But two of the ones that are probably the main means of grace that probably most Christians in the world would practice. And I think the two of the ones that are essential for us. Number one is the first means of grace that I want to touch on is the privilege that we have of God's inspired, preserved word. The Bible is God's inspired word. He claims that he's inspired every word of it. It's all tested. It's all proven true. And he's preserved it for us. And so the first means of grace is that we can have that at our disposal daily. Again, back to Memorial Day, we have total freedom. I'm not afraid of having Bibles anywhere I go. I'm not afraid that someone's going to come and say, oh, you're a follower of Jesus, I'm going to put you in jail. We have this great freedom here in our country. But it is a means of grace we have to be using that Bible, to be reading. I think it's very, very interesting as far as in the sense of, again, if we're making 35,000 decisions a day, how can we remember week to week, Sunday to Sunday, things we learned about God? I don't think you can. I think that your growth would be kind of pygmy goat growth. That's what we say. Is that a pygmy goat growth? It means very small, very minuscule. Those pygmy goats are a little white. I have noticed that about them. But here's, it's interesting to me from the beginning. In Exodus, when the children of Israel leave it and he's providing them food, and he says, I'm going to give you manna and I'm going to give you enough for one day. And only collect what you need for that day. And because tomorrow I'm going to provide again. And if you don't believe me and you take too much, it's just going to rot. It's not going to be good. Now, I don't think that's a perfect example of God's word. I don't think it rots if we don't read every day. But I think he's saying we need daily food. He said later on, Jesus is talking about, and Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. So there's something about the continue. We need to be in, I'm a firm believer, we need to be in God's word daily. It's a privilege, it's a means of grace God gives us to help us be and help us do all that he wants us to be and do. Romans 12:2 says this, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The word renew, again, I don't know any Greek, but I know a lot of people who do, and I can look them up and read and find out what the word renewing means. It is an ongoing, every day, until as long as your mind is able to be renewed, you're renewing it. It's not like you say, oh, well, I came to faith and I read the Bible once, I'm done. It's saying you're going to have to renew it over and over because we all know, you know and I know, the world gets its input into us. It just does. Billboards, shows, you name it. We're told what the world thinks, newspapers. But we don't get what God thinks unless we make a choice to be in his word. So he's saying be transformed, be changed. Don't be conformed to this world. Be changed. How? By renewing your mind of what God's word has to say. So that's one of his first main means of grace. I love this quote by Andy Stanley. New Testament imperatives, apart from New Testament thinking, results in short-term obedience and long-term frustration. An imperative is that we be in God's word, that we devour his word, we value his word, we read his word, we come to hear his word. And if we don't, I think we're going to have very short-term obedience and very long-term frustration. And I don't want any of us to have that. I want us to have fulfilled lives. And at the end to say, here, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So that's one means of grace that I think is imperative for us as far as if we're going to finish, if that's our part of this deal of finishing to the end. The other, though, is a grace that God prescribes for us is that to be in community. I know I'm talking to the choir because you're here. And so you know the value of community. But I also know, without stepping on anybody's toes, I know that there are some, not in our church, I know, but also other churches, you know, the church is what they do if it's convenient. And guys, I'm just encouraging you as your pastor. I'm trying to warn you as your pastor. I'm trying to beg as your pastor. It's not just, it's okay if you come. I'm saying, I think it's imperative that you come for the long haul that you're plugged into community. I'm not saying Firm Family is the only community. I'm saying a church, Bible-believing, Jesus-loving group of people who are committed to being together is very important for us. I'm going to steal some thoughts from John Piper, a message called Eternal Security is a Community Project. So he's tying in this idea of perseverance of the saints to the fact that we come together. And he's tying this thing together. If you want, again, I'm not going to say many of his quotes, but if you want to hear his whole message, just go to desiringgod.com and type in Eternal Security is a Community Project. And that you can hear his whole message or read his whole message. I also want to say from the beginning is, again, I know there are some, maybe some of you have family, they're not able to come. just physically. Guys, that's that. Then you be their community. You be with them. You encourage them, and you're going to see why in a minute. But here's the first of Piper's quotes that I think is again, maybe shows importance. He says this, you and I are essential. Not kind of like, you and I are essential in helping each other persevere to the end in faith. And guys, I think biblically he can back that up. I think I can back it up. And we're just going to look at one of the verses that backs it up that shows how important it is that we gather together with other believers. Hebrews 3, 12 to 14 says this, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it's still called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For if we have come to share in Christ, if we are truly believers, if indeed we will hold our original confidence firm to the end, it is going to be evidence. And I'm just going to make a couple of quick comments. The first one is that when he says, take care, brothers, lest, it's kind of like you can expect to fall away if you don't take care. It's kind of saying, be careful, because if you don't, you're going to fall away. So there's a warning, take care, lest there be in any of you an evil. He goes on and says, rather than giving way to an evil, unbelieving heart leading us to fall away from the living God, we are to exhort one another so that none of us will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It's just another one of the 59 one another's in Scripture. One of the reasons we believe in this motto of helping develop friends that are true, because the Bible is full 59 times in the New Testament of words one another. One of them is exhort one another, help each other, speak truth into each other's life. The idea of deceitfulness of sin, this is something I really believe, and I think any of you that have worked with anybody that is addicted to something they don't want to be addicted to, whether it be drugs, alcohol, pornography, cigarettes, it doesn't matter. They don't want to be addicted, but they are. And again, I know it's easy to judge them. I'm just saying I am so thankful that God spared me any of those addictions, because I've sat with men after men after man after man after man in my office who are weeping because they're fighting hard and feel like they're never going to break the addiction. That's how deceitful sin is. Oh, it won't hurt. It's very deceitful. Ask an addict if it is not deceitful. I don't think any addict would be an addict if they knew where it would take them at the end of the road, right? I mean, if they knew at the beginning this is where they're going to end up, I don't think they would choose the beginning. But it's deceitful. It's tricky. So you've heard this so many times from me. Sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go, keep us longer than we ever wanted to stay, and cost us more than we ever wanted to pay. And God said, being in community is going to help you, help us all, if we'll be honest and transparent with one another. It'll help us not be tricked by the deceitfulness of sin. And then the last part when he says, when we read, if indeed, he says, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, it's proven that we really are in Christ. Perseverance is the evidence that you truly belong to Christ. It is the evidence of being born again in Christ, not the means to it. Or put it negatively, this is what we talked about last week, if you don't hold your confidence in Christ to the end, it would show that you had not come to share in Christ. So we've got to wrestle with that. And here's the verse we looked at last week, 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they were not of us. So he's saying at the end of Hebrews, he's saying, for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. But that whole passage, he's talking about the importance of being together, the importance of encouraging, exhorting one another. So again, two big means of grace that God gives us are his word, our job is to partake of it, and his community, our job is to be involved. That's why we push as hard as we can without getting you mad at us to get in a circle where people can know you, where you'll be comfortable sharing, I need prayer, I need help, encourage me. That's what God's design is for, to encourage one another, not to condemn one another, to encourage, to exhort, help one another. Three benefits. Say, okay, well, I do believe that I have eternal life. I do believe that God's going to preserve it to the end. So at the end, it's going to be great. What's the benefit of knowing that now? And I think there's way more than three, but I'm going to mention three. One is it gives us great hope for what is in the end. We live in a world that is beautiful, but it is broken. And us that are older know that it's broken in sense of relationships. We know there's people that we've loved deeply and have loved us deeply, and those relationships have been broken. maybe misunderstanding, maybe, you know, evil. You don't know, but they're broken. You know the pain of that. There's also the sense of just looking at the world and saying, is God really in control? It seems like the good guys are losing and the bad guys are winning. Is he really in control? Well, we have to have hope that in the end, all the accounts will be settled. In the end, it will be a great ending. It's kind of like we'll get the girl, I guess. So I've got my girl. I don't want another one, but we're going to, you know, I mean, I think the story is we know the end of the story. God is going to prevail. He is going to win. Jesus did overcome death. He has overcome evil. We have great hope. Billy Graham said this when he was alive. You can live forever without sex, 75 days without food, 10 days without water, 6 minutes without oxygen, but you can't really live without hope. Guys, we have a great hope. We do know what's coming in the end. And so we should be people who are sometimes asked, give an account for the hope that's within us. Because we do have a hope. And so I think knowing that if we're a believer, if we're a follower of Jesus, he's going to carry us to the end. Knowing that gives us great hope. The second thing that gives us a benefit is the confidence we have today. Kind of ties in hope, but our confidence is not in our commitment to Christ. Our hope is not in our commitment to his word. Our hope is in his commitment to us. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you, and I think most of you say he's beginning a good work. You can taste that. You say, I'm not sure why you'd be here if you didn't think God's doing something in your life. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You can have great confidence in him and his commitment to you. Another great quote by Paul David Tripp. I love this quote. You are his children, not because you believed, but because he placed his love on you. The Bible says we love because he first loved us. It says, and this is love, not that we loved him, but he loved us. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ, God sent his son to demonstrate his love for us. Over and over and over again, God is the initiator of love towards us. So you are his children not because you believed, but because he placed his love on you. He doesn't love you because you believe. No, you believe because he loved you and is loving you. Our hope is in him and his commitment to us, not that we are going to be that faithful. Last one, perspective. Again, I think it's so easy to be so distracted from what really matters. And there's a book I read probably 20 years ago called Living for What Really Matters. It's a great little read. But what is it that really matters? And what really matters is things that are going to last for eternity, right? So all the other stuff doesn't really matter. It matters for a nanosecond eternity, but not forever. And so as far as living for what really matters is a choice that we can make of what we're going to give our time to, our thoughts to, our energies to, our finances to. Is it really just all about me and nothing else? That would be, I think, will come up very sad at the end of our lives to think we thought that. And yet, knowing that what's the end, knowing that we'll be eternity in heaven, we realize what matters is what's going to be there. And that's going to be people. And so that's what we live for, is people loving God, loving others. The two greatest commands he's given us. So that's what really matters. In the New Testament reading, some of you I know are still with me. I'm reading just one chapter a day, 5 days a week. We're reading and we'll be through the whole New Testament this year. And I'm cheating because we're leaving today, right after the service, to go on a 14-day road trip up to the northern part of Washington to 3 national parks. I think it's going to be beautiful. But I don't trust the weather. I don't trust the rain, that I'm going to really have my personal time in the day daily. So I'm not taking my good Bible. And so I'm ahead. I'm in Acts 20, 24. You're going to get there, I think, either this week or next week. But listen to what Paul says. And the chapters before is just Paul literally taking a beating. I mean, the guy, it's unbelievable what Paul went through, and he went through by his own choice. Sometimes they say, Paul, don't go there. If you go there, they're going to beat you up. Well, if anybody told me that in high school, don't go there, they're going to beat you up, I didn't go there. I mean, I wasn't going to say I could take them all. But Paul did. Paul said, no, I'm called to go there. But listen to what he says in Acts 20, 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, I know what I'm here for. I know what really matters. And nothing else really does matter. And so if there's some bumps along the way, there's going to be bumps along the way. But I'm going to keep doing what I know is right until that day. That's what knowing at the end that all accounts will be settled will give us to do, is perspective of what it is that really matters. I'm going to close with just actually three applications, just kind of like, well, so what can we do with these? And they're easy. They really are. They're simple. You've heard them from me a lot of the times. But number one is to make a time and a place to be in God's Word daily. You know that I'm a big believer that the morning is that time. And I don't know. I did have one young man who for years told me, nights are good. But he has since came and repented of his ways. No, he told me, he said, yeah, it doesn't work anymore. I'm not saying the morning's a key. You could use the one verse, Jesus got up early in the morning while still dark, went out and departed to a lonely place. But I think that's not an imperative, that's not a command, we must do it. I think Jesus is just demonstrating life gets busy as the day goes on. And so for me, that time and that place is my desk, my chair. That time is first thing in the morning. It's not, I'm not interrupted at that time. But I just encourage you to make a time and a place to be in God's Word daily for the purpose of knowing Him and His ways, His promises, and being transformed to become more like Jesus. That's your purpose of being there. It's not to be saved. It's not to earn brownie points. It's because you desperately need that time. We have two things in the back that can help you with that. One is a Daily Walk Bible. I read it, I don't know how many years in a row did I just use that particular, actually, Zach's Bible, Daily Walk Bible. And it's broken down into daily readings. You can read through the Bible in a year by reading three chapters a day. Now, maybe that's too aggressive, so just take it and just read one chapter a day. But it's broken down and gives a little story about each thing that you're reading, so it helps you understand what you're reading. That's one tool. It's for you. It's free. It's a gift back there if you'd like to pick one of those. The other is a paper that has the New Testament reading plan where it breaks it down to one chapter a day. You'll read through the whole New Testament this year. Again, I encourage you to take that. Just start on day one. Ignore the date and just take the passage to read. But guys, it is so, so, so critical for us to be in God's Word daily. That's a means of grace He's given us. This week I was at one of my favorite eateries, Chipotle's, and I was with Kevin Patton, Dr. Patton over there, and we're just talking about how's our time in the chair going? How's our time meeting with God in the mornings going? And both of us agreed, and the words were, is it a duty or is it a delight? Both of us agreed, yes. Often it's a duty, often it's a delight. But we also both agreed it's daily a need. Every day it's a need for us. We know what it's like if we don't have our daily intake of God's Word. So maybe it's a duty sometimes, more often it's a delight, but it is so, so needed to remind ourselves of what matters, remind ourselves of what's to come, remind ourselves of what God's promised, what He's warned, who He is. It's just needed in our lives. The last one and the second application is to make our gathering a top priority. Now again, I'm just as a pastor, as your pastor, I'm just kind of saying, I'm not sure there should be a whole lot of things that have more priority than you being with God's people. Now, with that said, your wife's in the hospital having surgery day at 9, I think that's probably a top priority. There's a lot of things that are going to take priority for a given Sunday. But over the course of a year, I'm not sure you should let anything invade your time to be with God's people on a regular basis. And again, you said, oh, you're just trying to get us to come. Guys, you're right, I'm trying to. I believe in the church. I believe in you are the church. I believe in us being together is part of His means of grace to get us through. And so, yes, I do believe it. Again, is Firm Family the only church? No. Some of you know, if you miss like 2 or 3, 4 or 5 weeks, I might send you a note and I'll usually say, hey, I miss you. You are loved too much to be missed. You're loved too much to miss and not be missed. And you also know that I'm the hound of heaven. And if you're gone, you miss too much, I'm going to come after you until you tell me you've landed in another church. If you land in another good church, I'm going to rejoice with you. The church is a big C. But if you don't, just know I'm going to hound you until you tell me you do, because I believe we need to be with God's people together, singing His praises, hearing His word taught, and encouraging one another. Last application, another last quote actually of the day, and I just absolutely love this quote. And it, actually, he was saying I, and I could put I every time it says a we, but I'm reading it to all of us. We have not just been accepted, we have been loved. We have not just been loved, we have been inhabited. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We have not just been inhabited, we have been empowered. He gives us power to want to be with Him, power to want to do what is right. We have not just been empowered, we have been transformed. We're in the process of being more like Jesus, day by day, month by month, year by year. We have not just been transformed, we have been kept. And we have not just been transformed, we will be glorified. Guys, that's the sequence of all that. We've been saved, we've been empowered, we've been kept, We're going to be glorified someday. A great day is coming. The best really is yet to come, right? We know that. And so be encouraged by that. Take advantage of His means of grace that help us to look forward to that day rather than dread that day. I came to faith because though I didn't know who Jesus was, I never read the Bible, I just believe there's a God, and I just knew the end of the story was not good for me if I had to face to face with God and give account of my life. It just wasn't going to be good. Now I can't wait for that day. What's my plea is I believe in Jesus and what He did for me. It's not what I've done for you. It's what He did for me. It's what I'm trusting. Two last things. One is, Lord willing, 2 weeks from today. Well, so next week we have one last doctrine. Matt Harvey, I can't wait. I will be actually on the road, but I told him I will be listening to it. The minute it's posted online, and I'll be hearing him. But he's going to teach on the doctrine of eternity. Again, giving us this picture of, well, eternity is a long time. So how does that affect our day-to-day lives? I think it's going to be a great message. We have two messages on doctrine of eternity. And then for some of you that are new, don't know this, for eight years, every summer, would listen to a DVD series. And every year I send out surveys to you and evaluate and I ask a lot of different things. Have you made friends that are true? Have you made a faith, if you have a faith that is real? What did you think about the summer series on DVD? Did you like it, not like it? Almost 100%, I think it's like 99.3. I mean, it's overwhelming. Everybody says, we love it. We don't want it full time, but for the summer, it's a nice break. It's a nice change. So we will start 2 weeks from today, a series by Andy Stanley. It's one of my favorites. Again, it's my first time to see it. It's been the last 2 months I've been previewing it. But it's called In the Meantime. And he's just answering this question. Okay, I'm saved. Okay, I'm going to go to heaven. What about now? But he goes a different angle and he goes, what about now when I don't feel that He's really coming again? What about now when I don't really feel He's keeping His promises? What do I do in the meantime? I think you'll be greatly encouraged. I think your faith will be greatly strengthened. So we'll start that 2 weeks from today. All right, I think that's all I have. I'm going to pray as the worship team comes on up and leads us in some time of worship. Father, I again thank You for Your word. I thank You that You are a God who helps us do what You want us to do. I thank that You give us Your Holy Spirit who gives us a new heart, new desires. And Father, I pray You help each one of us to take advantage of the many things You give us to help us finish well. And Father, I thank that You've promised that Your Son is coming again for us through eagerly waiting. And so help us until that day to be people who live and demonstrate great hope because of what Jesus has done for us. It's in His name I pray. Amen.